your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining our show today. The date today is January 27th, 2016. It's Wednesday, which is our interview day, where I interview activists and healers and people that help us learn how to live in the Age of Vision. Today I have on with us scheduled a personal friend of mine, Ed Osworth, who I met about, I think I must have met him 8 or 9 years ago. He had just finished writing a book and publishing a book, which you can still purchase. It's on Amazon. It's called Unstoppable Joy, which is kind of ironic because here we are 8 years, 9 years later, living in the Age of Vision. I'm on the radio, and my focus is to help people understand that there's a lot of joy left. Joy is unstoppable, and Ed's book is really quite valuable. If you're interested in it, you can find it on Amazon. It's called Unstoppable Joy. His name is Ed Osworth. You can also find Ed on Facebook. He's a pretty prolific Facebook poster. He goes by the name of Ed Oz. He lives here in Lowell, Oregon. And Ed has a particular interest. A few years ago, he started talking to me about something that's come into the news recently. He has a personal interest in investigating the very first nuclear meltdown that happened in our country that was summarily ignored, and that is the Santa Susana nuclear meltdown, full nuclear meltdown that happened. And it is right now still, and probably the reason why the Porter Ranch methane leak is so toxic. It is the reason, because it's only like 7 or 8 miles as the crow flies to the Porter Ranch methane leak. So we have not heard 1 ounce of information about that in the news at all, that we had a nuclear meltdown that was ignored by our government 7 or 8 years ago. So let me bring Ed into this conversation. Ed, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing this information with us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, and I really appreciate it, because I think for anyone who's involved in nuclear really needs to study the Santa Susana Field Laboratory and the accidents that happened there, because a big point that I like to make is this was the very first commercial nuclear reactor ever built in our country, and it was an unqualified failure on every level. It melted down, it caused horrible accidents, and they continued to build commercial reactors, and they never, ever told one single citizen that this reactor melted down for 30 years.
Wow.
They kept the meltdown a secret.
So, Ed, how
did I come about it?
Yeah, and what made you interested in this?
Well, I grew up very near the Santa Susana Field Laboratory. As a matter of fact, when I grew up as a kid in the 50s and 60s, it was known as Rocketdyne. And we actually used to go up there because that's where they would test the rocket engines for the big Atlas rockets that were going to take people to the moon. So it was a very exciting place. You could go up into the hills around there at night, and you could hear the roar of the engines and see the sky glowing red as they were testing these things. I mean, the roar was so loud you could hear them halfway through the San Fernando Valley. So, of course, as curious teenagers, we used to try and get as close to that place as we could, but you could not get very close because it was a top-secret facility. There was more than just a reactor going on there. There were the bizarre experiments with liquid metal, all sorts of stuff. Let me give you the short paragraph version out of Wikipedia. The Santa Susana Field Laboratory is a complex of industrial research and development facilities located on a 2,600-acre portion of the Southern California Simi Hills in Simi Valley, California. It was used mainly for the development and testing of liquid propellant rocket engines for the United States Space Program from 1949 to 2006, nuclear reactors from 1953 to 1980, and the operation of a U.S. government-sponsored liquid metals research center from 1966 through 1998. It's 7 miles northwest of Canoga Park, and so I grew up in Van Nuys, which was about another 4 miles. So I grew up about 10 miles from this reactor.
So wait a minute. Can you back up? Have you said 2,600 miles or acres?
Acres. The facility's on about 2,700 acres. Okay? And it was built way out in what was considered to be the middle of nowhere in those days. And way up in the Simi Valley, nobody lived in the Simi Valley until the late 60s, early 70s. And there was no development out there whatsoever. What was in the Simi Valley was where all of the westerns that all of us grew up on were filmed. They were filmed on a place called the Sage Ranch, which was adjacent to the Santa Susana Field Laboratory because they needed places that looked like they were out in the middle of nowhere in the West.
That's about 4 square miles, in other words. That's a large area.
It's a huge facility, an absolutely huge facility. I mean, at one time, they had 6 reactors there going at once. So, yeah, they had they experimented with several different types of reactors on this site. Now, the reason that this subject came personally kind of something that I needed to dig into and to tell people about was because most likely both of my parents died from these accidents. My mother died 27 years after the meltdown. My father died 28 or 29 years after the meltdown. Both of them had extremely rare forms of cancer. They both did not have the same type of cancer. My father's was a form of rare bone cancer, and my mother's had a systemic cancer that pretty much attacked her entire system. And my brother, about the same time, about 6 or 7 years after my parents passed away, well, he developed melanoma. I had moved out of the L.A. Basin as soon as I reached the age of 22, 23 years old. So far I've had nothing show up, but I found it quite astonishing that 3 people in my family would you know, get cancer pretty much in the same sort of timing that scientists say low-level radiation exposure.
True, but Ed, you were affected as a child. Didn't you have something wrong with your eyes as a child or something?
Well, yes, I was born with several defects. I was born basically blind in one eye, but I don't, you know, it's hard to say because I was born in 1950, so I was pretty much born before nuclear testing went crazy.
Yeah, but you were born in that area.
But I was exposed. I was exposed. I actually got up at 5 in the morning one day in Las Vegas with my parents, and we watched a nuclear bomb go off.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
There was a big tourist draw to Vegas. They'd advertise the explosions ahead of time so people would go there to watch.
Well, look, can you share with us some of the information you found about the Santa
Susana site? Yes, I will.
Didn't
mean to get off track. I was very excited because as I did some research last night on this very subject and found out that there's brand new information. So let me give you the short version. The short version is there was several meltdowns at that site. These were done when nobody really knew what to do about meltdowns. Some of them were clumsiness beyond belief. One of the biggest meltdowns was they actually dropped control rods into the reactor and then opened the reactor. And the radiation was so heavy that they basically had to abandon the whole site. And then at night, they would open up the doors to release the radiation out to the San Fernando Valley.
Which is why it's on Porter Ranch. That's what I think.
Right, right. So, the other thing they were doing was they were disposing of nuclear waste. And I've shown you pictures of this. Their method of disposing of waste, in many cases, consists of packing waste in 55-gallon drums, taking them out to a big open field and shooting those drums with rifles. And if you don't believe me, you can go see pictures online of them doing exactly that.
Wow.
They also dumped waste into a giant lake they had there.
Okay, do you know what the name of the lake is?
It didn't have a lake. It was Sludge Lake. It was, we're going to dump anything in here we want, lake. Unfortunately, it was close to the lake that is used for drinking water in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Over towards New Hall and Saugus. So in any case, we had all of these experiments going on up there, and because it was the Cold War, and we were very much in patriotism, and what you called the age of fission, back then we called the atomic age. Right. And we had glossy eyes going, wow, the atomic age is here. Well, everything that went on at Santa Susana Field Lab was dead secret. No one could get anywhere near it. They were doing secret stuff there because they were doing research for the moon program. So nobody really ever questioned anything that went on there. There's actually newspaper, you can see newspaper headlines about the day they announced that the nuclear reactor up there was producing electricity they were actually selling. Huh. So they used it to build all of this publicity for the fledgling nuclear industry. You know, they were trying to put a smiley face on nuclear, which they succeeded in doing, and because of that, there was no way they were going to tell the public about these meltdowns.
Huh.
That would have derailed the whole nuclear industry all back in the 60s. So they just kept this stuff secret for 30 years until they figured everybody had forgotten about it. They admit the responsibility, so much so that anyone who worked at the Rocketdyne facility and dies of cancer, there's an automatic, I think it's about $150,000 fund that goes to their family, which is kind of nice because from all of my research, every single human being who worked at the Rocketdyne facility died of cancer.
Wow. Wow.
Every single one.
Were they part of the military, or did they make a public story of this?
Well, Rocketdyne was private industry. I mean, right now, the Santa Susana Field Laboratory property is owned by Boeing, because Rocketdyne was really part of Boeing, but it wasn't. You know how the government does that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
They try to build a firewall, because, you know, the Rocketdyne was basically involved in the moon program. So they wanted that stuff to be real secret, but Rocketdyne got its technology from Boeing. And the tie to Boeing and Rocketdyne is so strong that when this thing all blew up and they found out they had this horribly contaminated site, which, as you'll learn, is at least as contaminated now as it's ever been, Rocketdyne ate the bullet. I mean, Rocketdyne said, we'll buy the property. I mean, not Rocketdyne, but Boeing bought the property. And
but
Boeing
aren't there people that live around there? Like, didn't they just build it? My recollection, I'm from Illinois.
Well, yes. Simi Valley filled up with people. I mean, Simi Valley was the middle of nowhere until about the end of the 70s when you know, home developers discovered, my God, property is dirt cheap out here. And I literally remember when you could buy houses in Simi Valley for $100 down and $179 a month, brand new houses.
Mm.
So Simi Valley got filled with people really fast. A lot of people that got affected by this, though, are people that most of you know. Like, you know, well, a lot of people aren't as old as me, but the truth is, the Spahn Ranch was adjacent to, is still adjacent, actually, to Santa Susana Field Lab.
What's the Spahn
Ranch?
And that's
where every Lone Ranger episode was filmed. That's where Gene Autry, Hopalong Cassidy, John Wayne, James Arness, that Little House on the Prairie, all of those programs you've seen on TV that are out in the middle of nowhere in the West, well, they're right next
wow.
to the Santa Susana Field Lab.
Well, take
now,
us.
How many of these people have died of cancer?
Right, all of them. Would you take us through the steps of what happened there and how it got started? Could you have a kind of a chronology?
Well, yeah.
When
yeah.
was it created, and when did things actually start going wrong, and when did the government give up on it and decided to start?
Well, they never really gave up on it until it was exposed. I mean, the place has always, you know, the place has always been very strange as far as, okay, let me go into the history. Because you were talking about the beginning. In the late 40s, Atomics International, that's who also owned the property, a government contractor built a hilltop facility called the Santa Susana Field Laboratory to test rocket engines. Hoping to capitalize on the newly realized power of the atom, they built 10 experimental nuclear reactors there.
Wow.
But in 1959, just 18 months after one of the reactors began operations, it had a meltdown, raining radioactive compounds on the neighborhoods below. Details of the incident remained shrouded in secrecy for over 20 years until Pennsylvania's Three Mile Island accident in 79, after which a student activist unearthed government records detailing the nightmare that happened at Santa Susana. The records also showed that the rocket testing programs had produced tons of hazardous waste, which was illegally dumped into large unlined sludge pits that were incinerated nightly. Hazardous waste was also detonated. In the ensuing years, Atomics International and its successor companies were fined again and again for their practices. In 1994, an explosion at the rocket lab killed two scientists and severely injured a technician. Rockwell International, which then owned the facility, was fined $56 million and pleaded guilty to three felony counts.
Can we repeat that? Like, so it started in what year, 1956?
40.
1949.
1949, Atomics International, right when we started atomic research.
And so 15 months later, it had its first nuclear problem.
No, no, the reactor didn't go in until 58.
Okay.
And 48, they started using it for experimenting with and started building 10 experimental reactors.
Okay, and then
in 1958, we don't know, the most horrible thing is, we know about the sodium reactor meltdown, but we don't know anything about the other nine reactors.
Oh, wow.
We don't know what accidents happened with them.
Wow.
Okay? We only know about this one, and that melted down in 1959. And it was so unprecedented. There's pictures online where my favorite to show you, to just epitomize the nuclear industry in one picture, is a guy with a hat on his head that says safety is our number one, safety is our business, at the sodium reactor experiment, the meltdown. He's got the reactor open, the top of it looks like a submarine hatch, and he's sticking his head into the reactor trying to find a rod that dropped in.
Oh my God.
Safety is our business, right?
Wow.
So, and you were one who informed me of this. As this thing turned into an absolute nightmare, and it actually had melted down for 2 weeks before they even realized.
Wow.
The responsibility of this was given to some kid who was about 19 years old.
Wow.
And the decisions that were made were simply to let the radiation accumulate inside the reactor building. If you saw pictures of these buildings, by the way, they are unshielded buildings. They look exactly like what you'd in an industrial park.
So there's seven other reactors. What happened to this facility? Like who?
It's still there. It's still there, and it is still contaminated beyond belief, which is what I found last night. Even according to Rocketdyne, as you know, how conservative they're going to be. This is why this story is very, very relevant. Let me get the figures here. Okay, where's the percentages that Rocketdyne said? Okay, no, let's see here. Rocketdyne thing it does. I think it's, yeah. Okay.
So, let me ask
here we go. Okay. 153 samples had strontium 90 contamination at levels up to 284 times background. And
could you
also
read
far
that
above.
Again a bit slower, Ed? Would you read that again?
Okay. Let me start this. This is worth reading the whole thing. The U.S. EPA has announced the results of a three-year survey of contamination in Area 4 and the northern buffer zone of the Santa Susana field blast. Though Boeing claimed it had cleaned everything up, the EPA has found hundreds of locations with contamination. The EPA found 291 soil samples with cesium-137 contamination. These were at levels up to 1,000 times background allowable levels and far above EPA's remediation goals. Cesium is a powerful emitter of gamma radiation and can cause cancer in any organ or organism. In addition, 153 samples had strontium-90 contamination at levels up to 284 times background, far above EPA's unrestricted remediation goals. So basically,
what date? What's the date of that, Ed? What's the date?
This was a recent test, 2012, I believe. Let me see. Latest soil test. Okay, let me see. Well, I can get a link to it on another time on the Daily News to get a date.
Well, what's the date of that story? Or is that
this story is undated. This story is at Rocketdyne Cleanup Coalition, which is a great site.
That's what it's called,
okay.
Rocketdyne.
2012.
Wow, so that was just right after Fukushima when they decided we're going to do some tests.
Yeah, this was even before they could throw the Fukushima stuff into it.
Now, how far away is the population from that, the population of that area?
They're right down the hill. I mean, they're basically right down the hill. I mean, it's easy to go online and type in Santa Susana Field Lab into Google Maps, and you can see exactly where it is. It's like, there's nowhere in L.A. that isn't packed with people anymore.
Yeah, they
so
actually
everywhere. I mean, except for the movie ranch adjacent to it, populations go right up the Santa Susana Field Lab.
Oh, my God. They really have absolutely no regard for any human life. That is really...
Well, not only that, this is something that is just amazing. Here we go, Boeing's estimate. Now, if this doesn't wake you up, and this story is from 2 weeks ago, Channel 4, NBC4 I-Team, Southern California. So this is not from a conspiracy theorist site. This is dated December 15th, 2015. Now, folks, if you don't listen to anything else, listen to what I'm saying here. At one portion of the site, Boeing's estimates are that every fifth person would get cancer from the contamination they were living with on the site. This is if people lived there. That's how they did the study. And at another location, Boeing's own estimate is that 96 out of 100 people exposed would get cancer from the contamination there. Folks, this is 55 years later.
Well, did you see that story, Ed, in your research that says that the mothers of Simi Valley are freaked out because of the high level of childhood cancer in Simi Valley? I mean, that's been a story.
Well, and listen, let me listen to how this paragraph wraps up about what the company wants, about what Boeing has proposed. Boeing has proposed that they would take no cleanup action on 98% of the steel flap soil.
No action.
No action is necessary.
Right. We'll just let you get poisoned. Who cares? Wow.
Well, this is Boeing. Now let's put this in perspective of the bigger picture. Boeing makes more money off of us taxpayers than just about anybody.
Uh-huh.
They are the fucking world's largest or second largest or third, I'm not sure, military contractor.
Uh-huh.
They get all of our fucking tax dollars, and they won't clean this up. They don't have the money, apparently.
Uh-huh.
This is the nuclear industry.
Well, I was just, as you said, that I did exactly what you said. I typed in Santa Susana Field Lab. And I came across a story dated 12/23/2015. This was very recent.
Ooh, I didn't see that one.
Yes, it says the federal agency has recently has what was recently petitioned to study current health risks connected with the nuclear contamination of the Santa Susana Field Lab has decided not to move forward with an investigation. And as you read down, it says the ATSDR, which is what we're dealing with also in St. Louis, created in 1980, accepted a request in March. And this is what they said. Let's see, they've decided not to move forward. A thoughtful process has been used to evaluate threats to public health and to develop plans to address those threats. As such, the agency won't conduct any new health investigations at the lab, and the planned cleanup should move forward without delay. So don't
Here's
worry, move
why.
along, folks.
Here's why. Here's why. I'm going to get from another story. Okay? In studies have shown that the soil and groundwater at the field lab is contaminated with toxic chemicals and radioactive waste. In 2006, a federally funded study by a research team at UCLA found that this contamination has already migrated into neighboring communities. They already did a study
This
in
is that.
2006.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, that's what I mean,
And the
honestly.
2006 study that was funded by the Fed says that the contamination is already in the neighboring community.
Wow.
I mean,
Wow.
folks, they've never gotten nuclear power right. This was the very first try, and it blew up in their face, and they hid it from you.
Yeah.
Because they knew if you had seen the truth, you would have said, this isn't worth it. So everything they have sold you is based on a lie.
Wow.
Every
Well,
single thing.
not
I mean,
only
if
that,
you
but
live near that lab, if you live near Santa Susana, I mean, I ain't tell you this, I would move. You've got methane. Okay, Lonnie started this out talking about there is going to be a connection between what went on at Santa Susana Field Lab and this methane showing radioactivity.
Well, they already know if there was a nuclear meltdown in 59, then all of that contamination spread. There's a 50-mile radius that they circle around nuclear power plants. That's kind of what's considered the hot zone. Nobody should go near
Oh,
that.
and there's another part of this study, and there's another part of the evidence here that is quite shocking to people that you can uncover, and that is that after they released all of this toxic nuclear radiation after the meltdown, they had medical people study what happened to the population. They knew it was going to hurt. This is how much they care about you, folks.
Megan Hilfer, spokesperson for Boeing, said ATSDR's decision not to move forward with further investigations doesn't affect Boeing's cleanup commitment. Numerous studies, listen to this is beyond comprehension. Numerous studies conclude that there is no evidence that past facility operations have affected the health of local community. These findings mean that Santa Susana can safely enjoy now by future generations, now and in the future. Oh
By the
my
way, this
God.
leads into the next step of this, folks, which, if you aren't shocked now, the plan Boeing has is to turn that into a nature park for you to hike through. The
Wow.
place that has spots where 98% of the people would get cancer. Or
Wow.
93% of the people, they're turning that into a hiking park. You want to go for a walk, Lonnie?
Wow. Well, this is the hard part about this is they wrote a story. There was now I don't, for me, and I have to say, I have a tendency to be way, I really believe that this is all about social engineering, getting us to accept, because we have been so contaminated,
Right.
getting us to accept that these kinds of deaths are just going to be normal. And frankly, they are being normalized because these our government and the responsible parties are refusing to accept their responsibility and try to figure out a way out of it. But here we have a story. I just found a story that was written a month before the blow up in Porter Ranch, September 5th. Now, it was leaking, from what I understand, sometime in September, where they were beginning to look at it, but it didn't have the big blow up that it did at the end of October. But one of the things that they've really done is they totally have forgotten and underestimated the negative effects of this radiation. Like, there are high levels of cancer rates among the children of Simi Valley. Now, why would a child be getting cancer living in Simi Valley? I mean, that these things about let's just ignore it, and these so-called studies. I mean, actually, I was thinking about this. You know what would really break the nuclear power industry, if you don't allow me to digress from your interview yet, is the Westlake moms, the moms of St. Louis, Coldwater Creek, Just the Facts, Please. Those people got onto Facebook to reconnect as just friends from their childhood. And as they talked, they began to realize that they all had the same. Nobody talks about their ailments and diseases. But as they got to know each other, they recognized that, hey, we all kind of have a lot of the same problems: autoimmune diseases, cancers, rare cancers. So they started a SurveyMonkey. That could be a really. This is a way to shut down Facebook. You want to shut down Facebook quick?
Really? Okay, let me interject something here, a name everybody's probably heard of. A gentleman who practically lived next to Santa Susana Field Lab. Because when he was younger, they filmed Bonanza there. And when he was older, they filmed Little House on the Prairie there. And guess what he died of? Cancer on July 1st, 1991.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew Michael Landon.
Michael Landon.
I knew
James
Michael.
Arness, James Arness. I mean, the town that Gunsmoke was in was basically built
John
next
Wayne.
to John Wayne, exactly.
I mean, we can
All of
go
these
on
great
and on and
American
on.
heroes, all of these great American heroes, all of these people involved in the TV industry were exposed. And remember, they were only exposed when they were filming up there.
Right.
We have neighborhoods full with people living there 24/7.
Well, we now have babies in Simi Valley with a very high rate of cancer. And this is the thing, this is my point about the Facebook page. If people would start in these all in because we, it, one of the sites I really want to encourage people to go to is homefacts.com, FACTS, HOMEFACTS.com. Put your address in there and find out where the fuse wrap areas are in your neighborhood, and find out where the brown fields are in your neighborhood. And honestly, you will be shocked. Most of us have no idea what a toxic mess our country is right now. This is why they're keeping with the 90% rule. This is exactly why they refuse to do anything about this. Was this lady from Boeing saying the government has done all these studies? The government has done no studies in sand. Every study they have done has probably excluded women and children. I haven't even read the studies, but knowing how the government does this, guarantee you can pretty much you can pretty much guarantee
Let
the government will not
me
study the
interject. Let
children.
me inter, let me interject something here. Lonnie sent me to Home Facts last week. I'd never heard of the site, and I got to tell you, you must go there, folks. I live in, if you looked at pictures of my place, you would think I was in the most pristine rural environment imaginable. I live on a lake in a little town of only 300 people, about 14 miles from Eugene, up in the mountains. I ran my house on Home Facts. I have 27 toxic waste sites within 4 miles.
Wow. Wow.
Folks, you will not believe it. People
Well,
ask, where's the toxic waste? Like Lonnie says, it's the whole country now.
right. Well, look, and the interesting thing when you look at the environmental hazards on this page, they have something called brownfields, which I never even knew what that story was till I found this website. A brownfield is human-made or anthropogenic environmental hazards involving a failure of human-made system. Pollution, hazardous waste, unsafe storage tanks, unmanaged factories, chemical spills, and other examples. These hazards. Now, these are separate from the Superfund sites, folks. This is the shocking thing. Then you can also link into a tab. Now, you have to put your address in. You can look at where the Superfund sites are, the brownfields, where the polluters. There are 502,000 1,503 polluters found in the United States. Tens of thousands of chemicals are used in business, and
Okay,
they're just dumping it.
here's something I need to interject because it shocked me. You would think out of those 27 sites I found that most of them would be horrible, Exxon, and, Southern Pacific, and all these horrible polluters. No, the majority of them were the U.S. Forest Service, Lonnie.
Wow. The
That's
U.S.
who
Forest
caused the
Service.
majority around me. Yes. And wait a minute, the U.S. Forest Service and the Army Corps of Engineers.
But what? How do you? How did you look into any of them?
You can't really find much detail. You can find what they were. A lot of it's because they built the dam near me.
Well, that has to go back
but
to
in
the
'50s when they
and
built
the
when they built
issue.
stuff in the when they built stuff in the '50s, they just dumped anything toxic anywhere.
Well, this is the
They just bury it.
Santa Field thing. You know what I mean? Like, this is the worst part about this is this whole thing. Santa Susana set the stage for how our government handles nuclear dumps and nuclear explosions. Anything that goes wrong with nuclear in our country, the stage was set at Santa Susana. And we unfortunately were too naive in the 50s to even question our government at the time. We believe that they were telling us the truth. Don't worry. Here we have 27, 30, how many years has it been? 60 years, Ed, since 59, 55 years since
Well,
then?
well, yeah. And you and I are going to have to do a show on how Walt Disney sold us all at this one day.
Yeah, well, that is, actually, when did, I would venture to say that that little Friendly Adam thing came out very, very shortly.
1956, and then was shown every year, Our Friend the Atom.
It was in 1956?
Yes, that was when it was first shown on Wonderful World of Disney.
Oh, my God. And so this catastrophe happened in 59?
Yes,
wow.
Yes, and the reactor went in 58. Our Friend the Atom was basically Walt Disney's government project. The public had a bad perception of atomic stuff because we bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So Walt Disney was given the job of putting a pretty face on the nuclear power industry. And he did a wonderful job. As a matter of fact, any of you who can go out there on YouTube and type in Our Friend the Atom and watch the one-hour documentary that showed at least once a year to pretty much every American, because we all watched the same TV shows back then, and you will see how there is one word that is never mentioned about nuclear power. They go into all sorts of details, but the one word that's never mentioned is waste. Because according to Our Friend the Atom, there is no nuclear waste. There is nothing.
Well, you know what? This is actually the 60% rule in action here. And it is right when they decided to adopt the 90% rule, where they deny radiation causes harm and underreport the negative effects of radiation by 90%. There's a story that I just pulled up dated 12/4/2015. This is just last week. There was a double survivor, Jessica Gassell, who was a nurse, who she has she fought for years in the mid-80s, a type of thyroid cancer. Now she's diagnosed with endometrial stromal sarcoma. And the government is saying there's just not, the problem is we don't know exactly why people who live closer have higher rates of cancer. They have no idea. It says the data, despite the data they collected, there isn't enough to identify an explicit link between cancer. This is what they do, is they specifically exclude the information that they know that will link the cancer to the contaminants cancers.
Look at the contortions they've gone through with the sailors that were on Reagan.
Well,
USS Reagan, not prove it wasn't radiation. I mean, it's hilarious.
Well, look, what happened during this period of time with the people that were dying of cancer? Do you know anything about any of the soldiers?
Well, no one knew. No one, I mean, this is the real tragedy of this. I mean, had they announced these meltdowns, they kind of did announce the meltdowns. Well, they announced the skyrocketing radiation in L.A. Very few people remember this, but there was a giant radioactive milk scare in L.A. in the early 60s, right after these meltdowns.
Isn't that when John
And
Kennedy said he was going to close up the
yes,
nuclear
John
industry?
Kennedy was actually the first thing John Kennedy did was he was going to require all milk in the USA to be tested for radiation, which it isn't to this day.
Wow.
Okay, and actually for a while we were testing milk for radiation, but after Kennedy went away, so did that. So we knew there was all of this radiation in LA, but what the government said it was, their lies have always been carefully constructed. They said it was from nuclear testing that was going on in the desert in Nevada,
Wow.
and that it was blowing into the LA basin.
Wow.
So we were able to measure, scientists were able to measure this spike in radiation all over LA. So they came up with a cover story.
This is
Never
exactly
attributed.
you were the first person to share with me the concept of gaslighting several years ago. But this is exactly gaslighting. They batter us, they punch us in the freaking face, and then say, well, we have no idea what you're talking about. There's no problem here. You're perfectly fine. I mean, they're killing our children and they're saying that there's no problem. I mean, it's unconscionable.
Oh.
Think about the number of cancers that have happened in Simi Valley and in that area where people have died and, blame themselves for God knows what they've done in their lives. And when in fact, what they should have never done was move. I mean, isn't Simi Valley where, what is that, Magic Mountain is there? Isn't that where Magic Mountain is?
Yes, Magic Mountain, Magic Mountain's close to CD, but Magic Mountain is actually very close to the zone we're talking about.
Oh
Yes.
my God. Wow.
And
So
so is the reservoir, so is the giant reservoir, the Sylmar Reservoir that supplies the whole San Fernando Valley with water.
oh my God.
If you've ever driven the Interstate 5 there, that's just, once you get north of LA, there's this
Yeah.
big giant reservoir there. That's right next to this.
Wow.
Just
Wow.
over the hill. Do you
Wow.
think that radiation wasn't going into that water and we weren't drinking it?
Well, you think it's not still? How many of those contaminants last 700,000 years? 200,000,
Right?
150. I mean, the catalog of nuclear contamination, the reason they test for cesium-134, 137 is it goes, respectively, is it goes away in 2 years and 37 years, which is a short half-life.
Well, another thing, since we know they didn't dispose of anything legally there in the early days, that facility started in the 50s. Well, in the late 40s, actually. Well, Sylmar Lake was right over Sylmar, where Sylmar Lake is, there was no lake back then. They could have well been dumping radioactive waste on that property for a decade before that lake even went in there.
Oh my God. Do we have any idea where this waste site is dumped? Do
They
we have
dumped
the
it. They dumped it
specific?
everywhere. I mean, they didn't do anything properly. They literally put it in drums and shot them with rifles and let it explode into the atmosphere.
That's what they did. They
They,
actually put it, they put the
you'll go.
waste.
Yeah, you can go online and look up for pictures. Go images, Fantasy Zeta Field Lab, and you will find images. This very famous one of a guy sitting there behind this big bunker shooting drums with a rifle that are full of toxic waste.
Wow.
I mean, this is why all the people that work there died of cancer. Even
Wow.
they didn't realize. Some of these men, if you read these poor guys who work there, they brought cancer home to their fucking families on their
Wow, Ed.
shoes.
Wow, Ed.
And they
Wow.
knew it.
Wow.
Their kids were dying of leukemia at
Was
6 and 7 years
it
old.
a partial meltdown or was it a full meltdown?
Full meltdown.
Because,
2 weeks. It was 2 weeks. They had to shut the whole entire reactor down. And I don't think they ever fired the reactor up again.
Huh. Well, it's
I think
reported as
that.
being a partial nuclear meltdown.
Well, of course, it's 90% rule.
Right. Of course. Of course.
It's just a partial meltdown. I mean, I'm sorry, when you drop containment rods into the reactor, that's about as bad as it can get, except for Fukushima.
Wow.
I mean, but as far as man-made disasters, that's pretty bad. And I mean, I don't think the sodium reactor ever, maybe it did, but I don't seem to remember it getting fired up. Because remember, they had nine other reactors there. We're only talking about one of 10 reactors, and we're only talking about the one the records were found on.
This
There
is
were 10 other reactors there.
This is really where we get into what the whole attitude, the Anderson Price Act, because Boeing owned 80% of that site. The government owned 20%. So just recently in December, the government, the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, ATSDR, announced that it will back away from any involvement at the Santa Susana Field Laboratory. That's our government has basically said, sorry. No, it's not our problem. It's privately owned. We're not going to deal with it. Wow.
Really,
And so
really.
now we have the Port of Rancho.
Let me read this because this may have something to do with that. Okay. The site, which was once run by Rocketdyne, is now owned by Boeing, one of the state's largest employers and the big contributor to state and national politicians, including campaign contributions of $30,000 to Dianne Feinstein, $20,000 to Governor Jerry Brown, $11,000 to Barbara Boxer, and $4,000 to Senator Kevin de Leon, the current Senate President pro tempore and chairman of the committee that confirmed Barbara Lee as director of the DTSC. So, I wonder if that
Barbara
has
Lee.
anything to do with them not having to clean up. What is the DTSC? I
Huh.
think that is the
Well,
committee
but
that's overseeing.
this is the issue here. It's really like every.
Department of Toxic Substances Control, Lonnie.
Well, so this is the interesting thing. Look at how many agencies we have here, Ed. The Agency for Toxic Substance Disease Registry, and then we have the Department of Toxic Substance Control. They're sort of spreading the bull on over the place along with the radiation. They're creating all these instead of actually. So this is one of the things that I
Yes,
cannot.
but the point I'm making here is the director of this toxic control department was appointed by someone who was elected by funds that were donated to him by Boeing.
Huh.
Boeing donated $4,000, which is not a huge amount, but a significant amount, to California Senator Kevin de Leon, and he appointed Barbara Lee as director of the Department of the Toxic Control, which is saying we don't need to worry about this.
Well, Barbara Lee used to be a congressperson. Isn't that the same Barbara Lee that used to be a congressperson?
Ooh, I'll have to look into that. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, she used
I
to be
just
a
stumbled.
I think if it's the same one, she used to be a congressperson. So, but this
Okay,
is
that's.
the point. This means that our elected officials are buying this whole story that radiation. I mean, you can't be an elected official in Porter Ranch or in Simi Valley and believe that the radiation is going to harm your constituents and just walk away from that. I mean, I don't know how anybody could. You know, we have these oversight committees. We have Physicians for Social Responsibility. We have activist group like CORE Advocacy. They're attempting to get these stances reversed by the government. But this means that we have a whole bunch of elected officials who are willing to just ignore the information. And I just don't know how this is possible. I mean, to me, this speaks to a much bigger story that is not being allowed to be reported on. I mean, there's
Well,
something real in this.
it's interesting that you bring this up because the base problem, and you and I have discussed this many times, the base problem is that radiation is invisible. And it's very hard to talk to people about invisible things
Right.
and make them think that they're serious.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I think one thing, if there's any activists out there, I think one thing that needs to be done, like if you live near the Porter Ranch, if you live in that area, you should start sticking up those radiation warning signs.
Yeah, just on your
Even
right.
if you stick nothing else up.
Yeah.
Because people are going to go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then they're going to do research. And I want to give you people a few good places to go before the show ends. And one is Channel 4, NBC4 has great stories on this. They are called, you can look them up by Google by typing in LA's Nuclear Secret. There's a part one and a part two, and it is extremely detailed information on this story. And they are also doing a follow-up that just happened. On NBC4 call, basically NBC4's Joel Grover, how Boeing is blocking cleanup of Simi Valley's nuclear sites. So we do have some journalists on this right now. Another site I do want to refer people to, because it is excellent, is there is a site out there called RocketdyneCleanupCoalition.org, just as it would be spelled, RocketdyneCleanupCoalition.org. If you are interested in this subject at all, please go take a look at that site. They put a ton of work into that site and the information
Wow.
there. So
Well, this
those
is
were a
the
couple of
interesting
resources.
thing about this. Like, if we, this is what I meant about encouraging people to go to the homefacts.com. In our country right now, the house of cards is beginning to collapse because people are dying and getting sick. It has nothing to do with the real facts. It has to do with the fact that people are getting sick, their children are dying, and we have a responsibility.
Well, Lavia, I hate to be, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist Ultimate, but the truth is the fact that the medical industry makes money off of this illness plays into this game.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but that's actually true. That's actually
So,
true.
we've got to be
Well,
ultra
look.
aware of everything from every angle, because the truth is there's not a whole lot of industries that are looking out for our best interests in
Wow. Well, look,
this.
I just found this story that says new information shows the lab more radioactive than ever with a giant with a polluter compliant government subverting its own 41.5 million radiation study. So they spent $41.5 million twisting like a pretzel to produce documents that say there's don't worry, there's no excessive rate. So in the 90% underreporting the negative effects of radiation by 90% in this one instance cost our country $41.5 million studying it.
There's another point I really think is
Outrageous.
important to make to the listeners out there. And that is, if even Boeing admits that certain parts of that place, if somebody lived there, 93 out of 100 people would get cancer. I really want you to consider the fact, folks, that the pollution that happened there happened 55 years ago. And that the same thing is going on everywhere in our country. Lonnie has points them out to you every week. Okay, this stuff does not go away. All of them saying, oh, don't worry, it's not that bad, it's going to blah, blah, blah. If it's really not that bad, then how come 93 out of 100 people would get cancer over a spot they polluted 55 years ago?
Right, exactly. I mean, we
I
have
mean,
children being born with cancer. That's just, it's outrageous. And there's a
you
high
can.
level. It's kind of like, this is what I mean about the Facebook page. If citizens who live in this, who were born in that area and moved away, and people who are still living there actually created a Facebook page where they could plot chart their levels of the different cancers, because this has been very effective at forcing the government to relook at their own data because the citizens in St. Louis have created their own survey. Now, it's not a
Cool.
scientific survey, but what they have done was force the government to take their own plot chart, their own survey data, and then it's forcing the government to take a real honest look. Now that they know that the people who are in the community are scientists and are really looking at it, they are able to actually see past the manipulations. So
Right.
I'm beginning to think that this is where the strength of citizen journalism and citizen activists is going to go, where we're going to create our own data and then we're going to force the government to relook at their lies and examine their science, their quotes. I mean, as we know, there is no more science in this country. It's all about promoting big industry.
Well, there's so much, you've made such a great point that there's so much data we don't have. In other words, if you out there have had relatives that have died of cancer, and I certainly have, if you probably traced back every place they lived and when they lived there, you'd find a nuclear event.
Yeah, but this is the point about homefacts.com. When you start looking at it and you start unpeeling the onion, Ed, this
Right.
issue, we started talking about Santa Susana, and just like many other times when we talk about other sites, it spills in. Like when we talk about St. Louis, we know for a fact that they put some nuclear dump site in Niagara Falls. So they and there's places in Ohio that they dumped it at. So we don't even know where half of the nuclear waste is in this country. The ones that we can see now, they're no longer trying to bury it because
Well,
the pit is mouthful.
and as I understand St. Louis, they don't even know what type of nuclear waste is buried there.
They don't, and that speaks to most many nuclear dump sites. We don't even have any idea what's there. And the negligence, the grotesque negligence of our government agencies post World War II is just, and the lack of complete responsibility and willingness to be honest brokers and say, okay, we messed up in the past. We took a really bad stance in the past. We now have, let's just face the facts. Like Flint, we've destroyed the plumbing. We have neglected our infrastructure. We have polluted our waters. We are poisoning our children. Okay, we accept that, but $41.5 million on a study that they spent to twist like pretzels to tell us that Santa Susana is a safe place to live near is unconscionable. That's worse than
I
Hitler.
agree.
That is worse than Hitler. Hitler and Himmler would be proud of themselves. And frankly, they would be very proud at the way Americans click their heels and say, Sieg Heil. I mean, Americans have no problem keeping their trap shut. People look at you and
Well,
me and
not
act
only
like
that, not
we're
only that.
extreme.
We just had a very interesting example yesterday that I pointed out to you of how controlled our information is. Remember I called you about the incident with Bundy?
Yes.
And the incident with Bundy yesterday, for those of you who aren't aware, actually happened hours before any of the national news reported a word on it. Hours. Because I knew about it because I live in Oregon, and somebody local got in touch with me and told me about it. And I went looking for it on the national news. I'm like, this is very interesting. It's not on any of the news sites. And it didn't start showing up on the news sites until about 7:30,
Wow.
even though it happened about 4:30, which basically meant that the news people were waiting or getting approval
Well,
about
getting
what
their story
information they were going to
straight.
give you.
That's they were getting their story straight.
Which, is kind of frightening. You'd think in this age of electronics, we'd find out about news the minute it happens. But no, and we didn't find out about Santa Susana for 30 years.
Wow.
And
Well,
even
look.
now, they don't admit liability. I mean, I've contacted lawyers about this, and like to try and sue the government is very interesting because what they do in cases where people have done this is they will basically tell the judge the person should have known back in 1960 that we were doing this.
Wow. Well, look, there's
That
a
is
great
their argument.
website. I want to encourage people to go to this website. It's called
Okay.
EnviroReporter.com. EnviroReporter.com. There's a great story that these people have really pursued this thing with Santa Susana since 2012. They have done a lot of good investigation on this story, and they have a whole series of stories here. They are supported by people online, so please do make a contribution, even if it's $10, because they do deserve to be paid for their hard work. But EnviroReporter.com is actually a good website that we can go to. These people really do their hard work, and they do a lot of work on a lot of different issues. And it is very important for us to support each other on all of this. Wow, we've got 20 seconds left, you guys. I need to get better at watching the clock. Thank you, Ed, for joining
Thank
us.
you.
Yeah, I really appreciate the information you've shared. Thank everybody for joining us. Please share this podcast and put your courage feet on. We need to take action. We can no longer just accept the lies of the past. So thanks for joining.